praying greatly to be praying. Amen. The title of this devotion this morning for communion is Blood and Victory. An 8-year-old girl had tried for months to learn to ride a bicycle. Finally, while visiting her cousins one day, she succeeded. Unable to contain her excitement, she ran to her mother, shouting, "I know how to ride a bike. I know how to ride a bike." The mom beamed, and then she saw blood covering part of her daughter's foot. The girl had cut her toe on a curb while trying to avoid a bush. The concerned mom began asking questions about the foot and the blood, but the daughter ignored the concerns. "I'm okay," she explained. "I can ride a bike." The young girl considered a little blood from a mishap a small trade-off in her quest to claim victory over her bike. Jesus' sacrifice at Calvary is not dissimilar. Consider how the New Testament writer described Jesus' sacrifice. "For the joy set out for him, Jesus endured the cross, disregarding his shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." For generations after man first sinned, God advanced his plan to overcome that sin so he could be reconciled with man. That work was completed the day Jesus fulfilled God's plan of redemption on Calvary. Jesus' followers were terrified at the sight of their teacher hanging on the cross. Yet on that cross, Jesus' victory was made complete. On that cross, Jesus poured out his blood and his life, thereby claiming the victory he sought. Imagine Jesus bursting into heaven's throne room and shouting, "I'm okay. I have set them free." Jesus considered the cost of his blood and his life worth the victory over the sin of humanity. At this table, we celebrate Jesus' victory at the cross. In pouring out his blood, Jesus gave us victory over sin. As you partake of this emblems of this meal, remember the great cause of Jesus' victory. Let us partake of this bread. Thank you, Jesus. Let us partake of this juice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
To follow Jesus. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Lord, we thank you for this moment. And we are gathered here in your name together in the spirit of unity. And we're searching, God, searching for meaning, oh God. We're searching for guidance and direction in a crazy and depraved world. We are looking for some sense of order. And we are here in this building today because many of us have learned that that order is found in you. And we pray that as we preach, that the call to follow you would go out, that someone would be lifted out of their tough situation, difficult situation, and lifted into that holy and beautiful place that only found by those who are called. to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Matthew belonged to an elite class of sinners. He created a lavish lifestyle built on extortion, money laundering, and betrayal. And these are some of the thoughts that came to me while I was meditating on Matthew yesterday. He was a man without a country. He was wedged between two warring states. Israel, his home state, was a vassal state to the Roman Empire. And he was collecting taxes on behalf of Rome from his fellow Jews. And so he was in a very unique position. And because of his positioning, he had an inside knowledge into the depravity of both nations. He knew things about the Romans that would turn your stomach. And for some of you, it would scare you half to death. You knew some of the things that went on in our country today that would scare you. But at the same time, he was not a fan of his own people. The Jews were petty and stingy and jealous little backstabbers, and they were hopelessly legalistic. God had abandoned them to their fate a long time ago. And so Matthew came to realize that the only person who was going to help him was himself. And so he decided that if he's going to be stuck in this era of the history of his nation, why not take advantage of the situation? Why not turn this into an opportunity? And that is exactly what he did. And the question is, why would Jesus want to have anything to do with this money grabber? Later in the text, some of the Jews will ask this very question of Jesus. Why do you want to have anything to do with this person? But Jesus, for his part, could see that beneath the surface of this opportunistic political panderer, that a moral dilemma was simmering. He saw a heart that was unsettled and troubled. We can compare Matthew to righteous Lot, Abraham's nephew in the Old Testament. The Bible said that righteous Lot, that he tormented and afflicted his soul every day when he saw the things that were going on in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And deep in his heart, Matthew was a righteous man who was vexed by the carnal and religious evils that were being perpetrated on the poor, the weak, and the innocent. But who could do anything about it? Where was God when they needed him so desperately? No, Matthew considered God had forsaken these people. And that's what the prophets said would happen, and it happened many times before. But then came Jesus. An enigmatic figure, a man of average height and build, and his legs caked in dust. His clothes stained with sweat. Salt crystals sparkled on his face. There was something familiar about this man. Had they met before? Had he collected taxes from him at some point? Who was his father? What family was he from? There was something familiar about him, but yet something ethereal. There was no pride or fear or even a hint of distemper. In fact, this Jesus did not bear the mark of any demeanor he was familiar with. There was something he could not quite put his finger on. It was an air of simplicity and graciousness. And the only word that kept coming to him, a word he had heard usually in disdain and never having actually seen it or experienced it himself, was this word, this thing called love. It permeated this man called Jesus like nothing he had ever seen or felt before. It was an inexorable spiritual force penetrating his soul and stripping the facade off his pitiful life. And he felt at once ashamed of his sin, but simultaneously stirred him with ardor. And then he noticed Jesus coming his way. Was he some kind of foreign dignity? Was he a merchant about to do some business? There was a big crowd following him. What was it? Was this another uprising? Should he be afraid? And all at once, Jesus walked up, stopped in front of his desk, and spoke these two words: "Follow me." And it was the invitation of a lifetime. Like a dream, almost in a state of shock, he found himself getting up from the table, transfixed on this man, Jesus. He followed along as if he were levitating a few inches above the ground. The call to follow Jesus went out, and Matthew rose to the challenge. And we don't know what passed between them as they journeyed. Matthew just takes us there quickly from one scene to the next. But like Abraham's nephew Lot, I could hear Matthew imploring Jesus, like Lot implored the angels, "Come into my home. Let me feed you. Let me offer you shelter. Let me make you safe." Because he understood the dangers that lurked in his territory. And now that his deepest passions were triggered, he would do anything to protect and provide for Jesus and his other followers. Matthew heard the call. I remember thinking to myself years ago that I would apply to Pace University in New York City, and that when I was working at Brown Brothers and Harriman on Wall Street, that they would pay my tuition if I kept my grades up real good, and that I would begin to start a career. And I remember going to church that summer with all these thoughts on my mind, and I knew that it was time. I was 19 years old. I knew that it was time to do something with my life. I knew that it was time to make a change and take a direction. So I was formulating a plan in my mind. But little did I know that God's plan was very different than mine. And a wild young man from Nebraska came that summer to our church looking for a long-lost brother who he lost contact with through family situations. And he was attending a Bible college in Jackson, Mississippi. And he began to just come to church and worship with us. And he was a little bit touched in the head, I thought, and I still think so. We're still friends all these decades later. He's still crazy. But God has a way of getting our attention. He found Moses in the wilderness with a bunch of animals pasturing and shepherding them, and he set a bush on fire to get Moses' attention. And something began to burn in my heart and stir in my soul, and I began to feel the need to make a direction change. And I decided that I would go to Bible college. And so at the end of that summer, with two suitcases and a bass guitar, I got a one-way plane ticket to Jackson, Mississippi. And the only person that I knew there was one wacky Nebraska kid. And I went there and spent my whole first year as a music major, learned how to play the piano, sang with the chorale, sang with the choir, learned how to read music and do all this different stuff. And But I remember at the end of the last semester of the first year falling asleep during the music theory final. And I remember how bored I was with the music. And I remember sitting in my Bible classes that all students of all degrees had to have. And I remember getting so excited about studying the Word of God. And I remember getting stirred up. And I wanted to know more about the Word of God. There was a hunger and a thirst that I had for the Word of God. And then I began to stir and I began to question. And I spent the summer in ministry. And I made up my mind that when I got back to college that I was going to change my major. And I went from being a straight music major to having a double major in missions and theology. That's a pretty dramatic change. And I remember walking out of the registrar's office with my new schedule in my hand, and I literally felt like I was walking, levitating just a few inches above the sidewalk and just walking on cloud nine, because I had just accepted the call to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And of course, the rest of the story is just history. And here we are, nearly 30 years later, here in Fairfield, Illinois. Who would have ever predicted that? Who would have ever thought that? And who knows what's coming in the future?
That's
right. One thing that I understand and know for sure, and I've seen so many young men and women at a very crucial age in their life miss the call to follow Jesus. I've seen many adults, and I've heard the retirees in our church express their discontent and sorrow at not having followed the call of Jesus when they were younger, and wishing that they could turn back the clock in the time and that they could have accepted their call that Jesus sent to them, and their lives would have had a different meaning and purpose and end result. It's a tragic thing to miss the will of God. When Moses missed the will of God, Brother Stacy, it set him back 40 years. Friend, you may not have 40 years. The call to follow Jesus came to Matthew. What a crazy thing. I mean, just some guy walks up to you and he says, "Follow me." And you just get up and go. Those are the kind of people Jesus is looking for. He didn't ask any questions. He didn't get into a debate. And Jesus, and there were others that Jesus invited to follow him, but they had questions. They got into debates with him. And they lost their opportunity to have a life-changing moment where everything in every direction that they had ever thought to be viable and useful to them would be pushed away, and that they would go in a completely brand new direction. And so here was Matthew, juxtaposed between the Jews and the Romans. A man without a country, with nothing that he could feel like he belonged to. But when Jesus walked up to him, something rang true in his heart. And he knew that this is what he had been looking for. Matthew's home was a haven for all sorts of tax collectors and sinners. And the question is, would Jesus really be safe there? And the answer is yes. Because the real dangers were not with the sinners and the religious outcasts, but we would learn later that the real dangers lurk behind pious prayers and sacrificial rituals. In fact, Jesus would be right at home with Matthew. Reclining and dining with sinners was exactly why he came. It was his mission, after all. It was what he was all about. Yes, Jesus came to bring hope to the righteous, but there was nothing he could do for the hypocritical and the self-righteous. And to those who chose to use God's holy word as a cloak for their rapacious, murderous hearts. There was no hope except maybe that their judgment would be swift. There are people in this world that do not fit in with the super spiritual elites. There are people in this world who are repulsed by the darkened minds that rule over our society. And we're just going along trying to get what we can out of life, trying to do our best, because there's nothing here that's good enough. There's nothing here to satisfy. There's nothing here that can meet that deep desire that we have. But I'm here to tell you today that the one thing that will shift, the one place that you're looking for that you haven't found yet, and that is following Jesus wherever that He will lead you and take you.
Amen.
The call to follow Jesus is going out. It's going out right here, right now, today. God is saying to you, follow me.
Yes, amen.
It would be easy to make excuses. It would be easy to harden our hearts like everyone else is doing, and to believe and convince and deceive ourselves that out there in the world there's something that will make me happy. Out there in the world there's something that will fulfill me. That there is another religion that is just as good as this religion. That there is, I have a friend today, we were baptized on the same night and filled with the Holy Spirit on the same night, speaking with tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance of. But I'm sad to tell you today that now he today in this hour is a practicing Buddhist believer. If we're not careful, we can miss the call to follow Jesus. And Jesus will just pass you by. But there is a place. And I know that we live in a world with full of denominational nonsense. I know that we live in a world of churches that have been secularized. And even our church, I know, and our denomination struggles with imperfections and flaws that turn people off. But somehow we have to hear the call. God didn't call you to a denomination. God didn't call you to some kind of pseudo spiritual religious experience. God is calling you to Himself. And I know this message may not be real popular, what I'm saying right now, but that's what happens when you have a free thinker for a pastor. That's what happens when you have a free thinker for a pastor. I want to know if I'm in this denomination or that denomination so good and well. And if that's where God positions me, so good and well. If I'm in Fairfield, Illinois, Podunk, USA, so good and well. If I'm in Chicago or I'm in New York City or LA, so good and well. I want to follow Jesus wherever that He leads me. Are we following Jesus? Or are we following what's comfortable? Are we following Jesus? Or are we just following the crowd and doing what everybody else is doing? Are we following Jesus? There is a decision that you can make that will lead to a life of monotony and a grind of boredom. There is a decision that you can make that will lead you to a place of absolute despair and destruction. And you will never be able to attain to that level of satisfaction and happiness that you desire. But there is a place that you can go to. There is a call to join and follow Jesus. There is a spiritual kingdom that is wedged between the religious folks of the world and the carnal folks of the world. There is a place, a kingdom called the kingdom of heaven that Matthew writes about to us prolifically, that he found, that it's not here, that it's not there, but it's right here inside of our hearts, that God is calling people to follow Jesus in this hour. Is there anyone in the house today that hears the call? Your pastor's wife heard the call. and the pastor made the mistake of preaching the message. Will you go? Will you go? And what did Rebecca say? She said, I will go. And your pastor's wife went and found her a guy and put those soft, lacy tentacles of womanly charm. And wrapped him up and locked him up. And just like in a stupor, like in a drugged state, a daze, Brother Stacy just pulled me to Fairfield, Illinois. Let's all stand together today. I know you're thinking that was a short message, and it was. And the Lord told me to preach it short today. I didn't feel led to add a bunch of extemporaneous thoughts to it. The call is going out to follow Jesus. And He has a way of getting our attention. He has a way of positioning us right where we need to be. And I like what the writer said, don't harden your heart as in the day of provocation. Soften your heart. Tenderize your heart. Jesus has come to fix what is broken inside of us. And He calls to us today, follow me. And there are many voices saying, follow me today, but there's only one Jesus. And I know I took some liberties with the Matthew story today, didn't I? But just think, He wrote the book we've been studying on for like close to 2 years now. Don't you think we ought to have a sermon on it? But I believe there's more to it than that. And Matthew became a great writer and wrote this gospel for us. And he had these, and it was just so enlightening to me to understand that Matthew had a view of the world that was very unique. And he was able to write about this kingdom that he was looking for, that he knew Father Abraham had been looking for, and this kingdom that he found it in Jesus. And I like what the writer said, I believe it was Peter, this same Jesus is both Lord and Christ. This same Jesus, whose name is Yeshua. Yahweh is salvation. This same Jesus who is Emmanuel, God with us. This same Jesus who will save His people from their sins is calling to us today to a life of meaning, to a life of purpose. He's calling us away from religious super elitism. He's calling us away from the rituals and the legalisms and the weights and the burden. He's calling us away from the darkness and the carnality and the evil and the wickedness that is in our world and the sinfulness and the money-hungry people that try are out there doing all that they can to manipulate and control. He's calling us to become citizens of a new city called Jerusalem. He's calling us to be followers in a new kingdom. And even though it's been 2,000 years, the call is still going out. This generation needs you to minister to it, because nobody can minister to it like you can. Because you are uniquely positioned. You are wedged in between cultural extremes. God is calling out to you today, follow me. Let's bow our heads together right now. If you feel the pull, if you feel the call, I invite you to join me in the front and come and stand here. here at this front step, and together we will pray with you as you seek the heart and the face of God, that what you are looking for, that you are not able to find, that you will find it before you leave this building today, that you will find it in a man named Jesus, that you will find it in this man Jesus, who was God manifested in flesh, who was carrying the kingdom around inside of himself. God was in him, bringing the world to himself. God is calling you today to himself. Would you follow me? Would you follow me? As they sing in this portion of, in this moment of our service, if you feel the call today, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, just for a point of privacy, for a moment, come down to the front and lift your heart and hands to God and accept the call that is going out. Follow me.